We need a National Climate Service to provide the kind of information that citizens, policymakers, and the private sector are already asking for. How will climate change affect my interests and my businesses, my recreational opportunities in my backyard?
I guess, and this is a point you made in your testimony here, is that in the past, we'd kind of look to the past comfortably to help us plan for the future. It's going to be more or less the way it's always been. That's not necessarily so looking forward, though, is it?
That's not the case at all. It has been the case that we have designed our cities, planted our crops, made plans for vacations, designed pretty much everything based on the expectation that there was some reasonable predictability in our climate system. We're seeing now that the climate is changing. It's getting warmer and more variable. We're seeing more extreme precipitation events, floods and droughts. We're seeing sea level rise, ice caps melting, and all of those are telling us that the climate is changing and changing in ways that are different from what it used to be. As we start thinking about what crops to plant, where to site a wind farm, how to plan for managing water, how to think about droughts, floods, fire, insect outbreaks, all of those challenges that come with the changing climate will be made more easily met if, in fact, we have some forecasts about what to expect. Currently, you can't go to any one place and get a good idea of what the climate, to get a climate forecast. You can't really get information about what to expect. And it has not been the case that we've had the capacity, the scientific capacity, to generate reasonable forecasts at anything like the scale that is relevant to much of the decision-making, which is regional to local scale.
As I understand it, we have a pretty good grasp of what climate change is going to mean if you're talking about a really big chunk of land or ocean and a really long time scale. But if I'm a community planner or agricultural planner or fisherman, what have you, that doesn't do me a lot of good. How local can we get, and how useful can we make that information?
I think it's relevant to take stock of how much our capacity to model has improved through time. It used to be the case that climate models were just the entire Earth, the whole thing, as a single unit. And there was a major breakthrough quite a few years ago where people realized that you couldn't just model the physical climate. You had to have some biology in there. And there was a creation of a new model, which was seen as a major breakthrough, and it was called the green scum model, because there was some biological stuff that interacted with the physical stuff. And that was, at the time, seen as a major advance. Well, fast forward to the present, and we have the ability to have models that are at the scale of a continent. And that is a very significant advance over the very early years. Those advances in the understanding and in the modeling lead us to believe that it should be possible in the not-too-distant future to have models at the regional scale and over 20 to 50-year period of time, as opposed to the century period of time, which we can now accommodate fairly routinely. So our advances in our abilities to model at smaller spatial scales and shorter time frames has been increasing and will continue to do so. We would like to push that envelope and to go as rapidly as we can to be able to deliver information at the regional scale for the 20 to 50-year time horizon, because that's the kind of information that is most relevant to fishermen, to businesses, to city planners, to farmers. That's the type of information we need, and it, in fact, we believe is doable.
Yeah, I'm guessing, you know, if I'm someone who deals with a water district in California, and I'm hearing all this scary stuff about the snowpack being gone, I'm probably on the phone to someone like you saying, help me out here. What should we do? Is that the kind of information requests NOAA is getting?
That's exactly right. And changes from snowpack to rainfall have huge implications for not only how what the amount of water is throughout a year, but when it's available. And those kinds of fundamental changes in the availability of water are so basic to planning, not just for city managers, but for agricultural, for all sorts of traffic on rivers, and therefore the ability to have an idea of what's down the road, even though it's not super precise, is immensely useful in planning. So there are lots and lots of requests now by water managers, by city planners, and others for information, and there's no one place they can go. There is no single federal agency, there's no single entity where they can go to get this type of information.
You know, it occurs to me also that in the course of doing this and in the course of getting this kind of information, the whole concept of climate change changes for people as it becomes less fuzzy and abstract and more about, you know, where I really live and how I really do business and what are my children going to be dealing with. This could push a real change in thinking beyond the immediately practical information, couldn't it?
Yes, indeed, it could. And I believe that many people are realizing that climate change is for real, just like many of the scientists have been saying for quite some time, because, in fact, they are experiencing in their daily lives more floods, more extreme rainfall, intense storms, more hurricanes, etc. And so I think the reality of what they're experiencing is matching up with what scientists have been predicting would happen.
I wonder, though, if the public shares the same sense of urgency about this that I gather you have. I heard you speak at the National Academies, and you quoted the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, something about over the bones of past societies are written the pathetic words, too late. That sounds like a pretty urgent message.
Dr. Martin Luther King was referring to what he called the fierce urgency of now. And I do believe there is intense urgency in addressing climate change, reducing our carbon emissions, and doing so in a way that will help us transition to greater stability than the path that we're on now. There is an intense, fierce urgency of now in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. The climate system does not respond immediately. There are long-term lags in the system. And so there is a period of time between when you reduce emissions and when you see the impacts. That adds to the urgency of needing to get on with it sooner rather than later.
Now that you're becoming a regular visitor here to Capitol Hill, do you get the sense that lawmakers here share that sense of urgency about acting?
In my experience, more and more lawmakers are appreciating not only the reality of climate change, but the urgency in addressing it. I'm hopeful that this Congress will be able to deliver appropriate legislation to help accomplish those goals.
This morning, during your testimony, you got some questioning from a congressman who obviously doesn't think climate change is happening and saw evidence of that in the past 8 years because there's not been examples of warming and surface temperatures. I'm guessing he's referring to there. Are you concerned that there is still this bastion of denial here on Capitol Hill that will prevent meaningful action from taking place?
I think there always will be individuals who disagree with the common conclusions shared by the vast majority of the scientific community. The real challenge is to design laws that serve the best interests of the nation. And in this case, I think the evidence is overwhelming that climate change is unequivocal, warming is unequivocal, and that it is time to act and to reduce those greenhouse gas emissions that are causing the climate to change.